Hey everyone, episode 67, I believe, of Thomas and the Bible. And I don't know if you saw on Facebook, but I posted a picture. I was up to like number 7 on the iTunes rankings in religion other. I'm number 5 in religion other Bible podcasts, other podcasts where Thomas reads the entire Bible, other. I'm number 5 in those 15 subcategories. Number 7. And anyway, it fluctuates. I think I'm back already down to like number 870. No, not really. I'm back down to like number in the 15 or something like that. But at any rate, it's cool to be up there at all and more people see it. And I'm not bragging to you because you already listen, but I mean, my point is the higher up it gets, the more people see it. And the reason it gets high is because you guys write reviews and download the episodes, and I just really appreciate it. Just turned like British all of a sudden. I really appreciate it. So yeah, I just wanted to say thanks for the reviews. If you haven't written a review, you can go ahead and go to hell. Please write a review on iTunes. It really helps. And so I have a little predicament today because I have like one note for this reading, which never happens. It's happened like one or two times. And I don't know why. I think it's just because it's all storyline. And honestly, this is pretty kind of an interesting story, really. We don't get to the end of it yet, but it's an interesting little story. I enjoyed it a little bit, but there wasn't a whole lot to say. We'll see if stuff comes up. At any rate, we got to get through this part of the Bible because that's how it's going to be. We got to get through all of it. So hopefully I can make it enjoyable. We'll see. I totally want to, I'll address it later, but if I ever become, which is bound to happen any day now, if I ever become a big movie producer or, you know, a Tom Cruise type actor, some actor who has so much credit that he or she can just get whatever movie made that they want, you know, like once I get to that status, which is, I don't know, a week away, maybe, I don't know. It's hopefully I'll still want to do this next week when this happens. I'd love to make a screenplay out of this and you'll see why, but it would be good. It wouldn't be like a shitty, like Bible, you know, like, what the hell's that word? I don't know. I'm blanking on words here, but you know, one that just casts everything in a positive light and is makes the Bible out to be a lot better than it is. It wouldn't be that. It would be like a realistic kind of story, plot line and everything. But anyway, so I'll talk about that after we're done. So chapter 20 of 1 Samuel. And David fled from Naoth in Ramah and came and said before Jonathan, "What have I done? What is mine iniquity? And what is my sin before thy father that he seeketh my life?" And he said unto him, "God forbid thou shalt not die. Behold, my father will do nothing either great or small, but that he will shew at me. And why should my father hide this thing from me? It is not so." And David sware moreover, and said, "Thy father certainly knoweth that I have found grace in thine eyes. And he saith, Let not Jonathan know this, lest he be grieved. But truly as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, there is but a step between me and death." And Jonathan said unto David, "Whatsoever thy soul desireth, I will do it even for thee." So the language was a little confusing. Basically, David has fled, because if you remember, Saul wants to kill David. Jonathan is Saul's son, and David's talking to Jonathan, saying like, "Your dad's gonna kill me, dude." And Jonathan says like, "No, he would have told me if he was gonna kill you. Like I, he tells me everybody he kills." And he said, well, David said, "No, I think maybe he knows you like me, so he didn't tell you." And so that's all that language was basically saying that. And then Jonathan said, "I'll do whatever you want." And David said unto Jonathan, "Behold, tomorrow is the new moon, and I should not fail to sit with the king at meat. But let me go, that I may hide myself in the field until the third day at even. If thy father at all miss me, then say, David earnestly asked leave of me that he might run to Bethlehem, his city, for there is a yearly sacrifice there for all the family. If he say thus, it is well, thy servant shall have peace. If he say thus, it is well, that's it, thy servant shall have peace. But if he be very wroth, then be sure that evil is determined by him. Therefore thou shalt deal kindly with thy servant. Thy servant being him, like yours truly, I guess is kind of how he's saying that, with thy servant. For thou hast brought thy servant into a covenant of the Lord with thee. Notwithstanding, if there be in me iniquity, slay me thyself. For why shouldest thou bring me to thy father? And Jonathan said, far be it from thee, for I knew certainly that evil were determined by my father to come upon thee. Then would not I tell it thee? Then David said to Jonathan, who shall tell me? Or what if thy father answer thee roughly? And Jonathan said unto David, come, let us go out into the field. And they went out both of them into the field. Basically, all that happened there is David told Jonathan, you know, I'm not going to go back. If your dad asks about me, tell him that I went to go pray with my family. And if he says like, oh, okay, whatever, then it's cool. If he's mad, then let me know. And Jonathan said unto David, O Lord God of Israel, when I have sounded my father about tomorrow at any time or the third day, and behold, if there be good toward David, then I send not unto thee, shew it thee. The Lord do so and much more to Jonathan. But if it please my father to do thee evil, then I will shew it thee and send thee away that thou mayest go in peace. And the Lord will be with thee as he hath been with my father. And thou shalt not only while yet I live shew me kindness of the Lord that I die not. But also thou shalt not cut off thy kindness from my house forever. No, not when the Lord hath cut off the enemies of David, every one from the face of the earth. So Jonathan made a covenant with the house of David, saying, let the Lord even require it at the hand of David's enemies. And Jonathan caused David to swear again because he loved him, for he loved him as he loved his own soul. You know, I gotta say, I love my own soul. It's a great soul, you know? It's just got a lot of soul. I don't know. How much can you love your own soul? Like, how can you tell? First of all, what properties does your soul have, I want to know, that don't come from your brain, you know? Like, I think our brain takes care of most of our personality, if not 99.100%. But any leftovers there, like, what does the soul get? You know, like, how does this, I guess you could say the soul is the brain somehow. I don't, but then if you have brain damage, does your soul die? No, somehow it does. Anyway, very confusing. But my point is, I don't know how much you can love your own soul. And all that happened here is, Jonathan's making a covenant with David. And saying, like, I'll definitely tell you what's going on. And he sort of, Jonathan sort of says, like, but you gotta do something for me. Once you're king of everything, don't forget me, you know, basically. That's all he said. Which, you know, honorable enough. He said, you know, I'll do this for you, but make sure that when you're king, you honor my family and stuff like that. So, fair enough. Fair trade. Then Jonathan said to David, oh, and then they made out hardcore. Because he loved him as he loved his own soul. Then Jonathan said to David, tomorrow is the new moon, and thou shalt be... Tomorrow is the release of new moon, and we need to see it in theaters. And thou shalt be missed, because thy seat will be empty in the theater. And when thou hast stayed... That's the name of one of those shitty movies, right? I don't know anything about them, or the books. Well, I wouldn't say anything, but I don't know their names. Isn't New Moon one of the stupid Twilight movies? I only know that because the best shirt I ever saw... was a summer in San Francisco. No, the best shirt I ever saw in the world said it said Team Elliot. It said New Moon Twilight. I don't know what the fuck it said. I think it said Twilight Team Elliot. And Twilight is an Elliot Smith song. New Moon is an Elliot Smith album that was released after he died. You know what? I don't know. I just don't know. But at any rate, they're gonna go see a shitty Twilight movie. That's what I'm trying to tell you. It says here in the Bible. You know, come to think of it, this should have been a sign that this this book was miraculous. It did predict these movies, although I don't know how Jonathan and David were seeing them. That's just the God works in mysterious ways. We'll just put it that way. And then when thou hast stayed 3 days and watched the movie 40 times, because it's that good, and what's his name is that hot, then thou shalt go down quickly and come to the place where thou didst hide thyself when the business was in hand, and shalt remain by the stone Ezel. And I will shoot thee 3 arrows on the side thereof, as though I shot at a mark. And behold, I will send a lad, saying, go find out the arrows. If I expressly say unto the lad, behold, the arrows are on this side of thee, take them, then come thou, for there is peace to thee, and no hurt, as the Lord liveth. But if I say thus unto the young man, behold, the arrows are beyond thee, go thy way, for the Lord hath sent thee away. And as touching the matter which thou and I have spoken of, behold, the Lord be between me as forever. So pretty much this is a weird little sign they're doing, so no one sees them because they're totally gay lovers. He's like, I'll bring a servant out and I'll say like, hey, servant, you stand over there. I'm going to shoot these arrows at you. And if he's gonna do all this like where David can hear, I guess this part was unclear. It took me a while to figure this stupid plot out. David's hiding in a cave, and Jonathan's gonna do this near the cave. He's gonna shoot some arrows, and if he says like the arrows are this way or something, then that means the king isn't gonna kill David. But if he says like, oh, go further, the arrows are that way, then that means the king's gonna kill David. Just kind of weird, like, I don't know. Anyway, I guess they're trying to be really secure, you know, really secretive, so no one links the two of them together romantically. It was obvious to me, like, right away, so I'm sure other people could figure it out. So David hid himself in the field, and when the new moon was come, he grabbed a bag of popcorn, and I gotta look that up. That's gonna be funny if I just made this up. New moon. Twilight Saga, new moon. Yeah, I knew that. It's stupid, whatever. It's one of the dumb movies. Okay, I'm not crazy. I'm just ignorant of shitty movies. New Moon was come. So it's the midnight premiere of New Moon. That's the setting. Just to paraphrase what's happened. It's the midnight showing. The king sat down to watch to watch it. And the king sat upon his seat, as at other times, even upon a seat by the wall. And Jonathan arose, and Abner sat by Saul's side. And David's place was empty. And Saul said, he's missing the movie? He's missing the movie! Nevertheless, Saul spake not anything that day, for he thought, something hath befallen him. He is not clean. Surely he is not clean. And it came to pass on the morrow, which was the second day of the month, and the time is measured after the premiere of New Moon, which is the most significant occurrence in their lives. So it's the second day after New Moon. That's what, like, there was, before BC AD, there was NW, like New Moon, BNW, ANW. Oh, that's weird. Saul said unto Jonathan his son, wherefore cometh not the son of Jesse to meet, neither yesterday nor today? And Jonathan answered Saul, David earnestly asked leave of me to go to Bethlehem. And he said, let me go, I pray thee, for our family hath a sacrifice in the city, and my brother, he hath commanded me to be there. And now, if I have found favor in thine eyes, let me go away, I pray thee, to see my brethren. Therefore, he cometh not unto the king's table. Then Saul's anger was kindled against Jonathan, and he said unto him, thou son of the perverse, rebellious woman, do not I know that thou hast chosen the son of Jesse to thine own confusion, and unto the confusion of thy mother's nakedness? For as long as the son of Jesse liveth upon the ground, thou shalt not be established, nor thy kingdom. Wherefore now send and fetch him unto me, for he shall surely die. And Jonathan answered Saul his father, and said unto him, look, we were just enjoying a great movie, a fantastic film, and you have to ruin it by saying you're going to kill my best friend. Like, what's going on? Just enjoy. Enjoy, what's his name? Edward Cullen. And the actor who, I already forget. The actor who plays Edward Cullen. Named Robert Pattinson. I definitely didn't just look that up. I totally knew that. No, I mean, sorry. I totally didn't know that. Anyway, just enjoy Robert Pattinson's hotness, R-Pat, or whatever they probably call him that. Anyway. And Saul cast a javelin at him to smite him. Well, basically Jonathan said, "Wherefore shall he be slain? What hath he done?" And Saul had his trusty javelin that he always has, and he threw it at him to smite him, whereby Jonathan knew that it was determined of his father to slay David. That, what was the first sign? So Jonathan arose from the table in fierce anger and did eat no meat the second day of the month. See, I feel like I would do the opposite. If I were really mad, I'd eat the crap out of that meat. You know, like, why is it like, oh, I'm not hungry, I'm leaving. I'd be like, I'm pissed at you. I'm going to eat this meat and then some of yours, and then I'm going to leave. You know, like, why is that a... Saul's probably like, oh, cool, leftover meat. I'm eating that right up, you know? That's not really a punishment for him. So Jonathan arose from the... I already read that. Ate no... For it was grieved... For he was grieved for David because his father had done him shame. And it came to pass in the morning that Jonathan went out into the field at the time appointed with David and a little lad with him. And he said unto his lad, run, find out the arrows which I shoot. Like I said, run out there, I'm going to shoot some arrows at you. And as the lad ran, he shot an arrow right into his heart, and he died. He shot an arrow beyond him. And when the lad was come to the place of the arrow which Jonathan had shot, Jonathan cried after the lad and said, is not the arrow beyond thee? And the lad said, it's right the hell here. I'm looking at it. What are you talking about? This is the sweet arrow. I'm pointing at it right now. It's right here. What do you mean? It's not beyond me. It's right here. It's where I ran to. Like, why do you think this is my first rodeo with the watching of the arrows? I know how to do this. Let me do my job. I don't tell you how to do your job. Let me do my job. And Jonathan cried after the lad, make speed, haste, stay not. And then the lad's like, this message can't be for me. And Jonathan's lad gathered up the arrows and came to his master. But the lad knew not anything, only Jonathan and David knew the matter. And Jonathan gave his artillery unto his lad and said unto him, go carry them to the city. And as soon as the lad was gone, David arose out of the place toward the south and fell on his face to the ground and bowed himself three times. And they kissed one another and wept with one another until David exceeded. So what is the point of all this? So right after the lad leaves, he tells the lad to leave and then he just comes out of the cave. So like, what is he worried about? I thought the whole point of the lad was that, oh, people may be watching. Like, this isn't safe. We can't communicate, you know? And then he, like, does this complex communication where he's like, oh, the arrow is further, you know? And so, and then David just comes out. Like, what was the point of that, really? If someone was watching them, they'd surely see it now, you know? Anyway. And David exceeded, as I said, which means he just, like, wept his eyes out, I guess. I don't know. And Jonathan said to David, go in peace, for as much as we have sworn both of us in the name of the Lord, saying, the Lord is between me and thee, and between my seed and thy seed forever. And he arose and departed, and Jonathan went into the city. Okay, so that's the end of that chapter. So David's fleeing now. Then came David to Nob, to Ahimelech, not Abimelech, which has been another character. I don't remember who the hell that is, but Ahimelech, not at all confusing. And Ahimelech was afraid at the meeting of David and said unto him, why art thou alone and no man with thee? And David said unto Ahimelech the priest, the king hath commanded me a business and said, it's business time, and hath said unto me, let no man know anything of the business whereabout I send thee, and what I have commanded thee, and I have appointed my servants to such and such a place. Now therefore, what is under thine hand? Give me 5 loaves of bread in mine hand, or what there is present. And the priest answered David and said, there is no common bread under mine hand, but there is hallowed bread, if the young men have kept themselves at least from women. David answered the priest and said unto him, of a truth, women have been kept from us about these 3 days since I came out. He came out. I didn't know that. I knew he and David, this is David. He and Jonathan were seeing each other, but I didn't know that he had come out. Since I came out, and the vessels of the young men are holy. Yeah, they are. Man, he's out and proud. And the bread is in a manner common, yea, though, yeah. So the guy asked him, like, so, okay, so David goes to this priest. The priest says, like, why are you here by yourself? or something, or, you know. Well, he does say that, but then he references other people. But anyway, continuity issue there. He says, why are you by yourself? And then he says, oh, well, the king has sent me on a secret mission. He says, you need to give me food because I'm on this mission. And then the guy says, oh, well, as long as all your men, which I just said you didn't have, which I don't get this part, have not, you know, had sex with women lately, because he has common bread, he doesn't have common bread. He has hallowed bread, which means like you can only eat it if you haven't like had sex with a woman in recent times, which doesn't, I don't think that's real. I don't know what, can't think of a scientific explanation why there would be bread you can't eat. But anyway, and so David, having come out recently, said like, done and done, sir. There's been no woman anywhere near me for quite a while, and nor will there be. Anyway, so the priest gave him hallowed bread, for there was no bread but the shoe bread that was no bread but the shoe bread that was taken from before the Lord to put hot bread in the day when it was taken away. Now a certain man of the servants of Saul was there that day. Spy. Detained before the Lord, and his name was Doeg, which I want to say is like Doug, but D-O-E-G. Doeg. Doeg. It's like Doug, but weird, like Doeg. Doeg. An Edomite, the chiefest of the herdmen that belonged to Saul. Saul owned many herdmen, but this was the chiefest. And David said to Ahimelech, and is there not here under thine hand spear or sword? I have neither brought my sword nor my weapons with me, because the king's business required haste. And the priest said, the sword of Goliath the Philistine, whom thou slewest in the valley of Elah, behold, it is here wrapped in a cloth behind the ephod. If thou wilt take that, take it, for there is no other save that here. And David said, there is none like that. Give it me. And David arose and fled that day for fear of Saul, and went to Achish, the king of Gath. And the servants of Achish said to him, is not this David the king of the land? Did not they sing one to another of him in dances, saying, Saul hath slain thousands, and David his 10,000s? And David laid up these words in his heart, and was sore afraid of Achish, the king of Gath. And he changed his behavior before them, and feigned himself mad in their hands, and scrabbled on the doors of the gate, and let his spittle fall down upon his beard. Then said Achish to his servants, lo, ye see the man is mad. Whereof then have ye brought him unto me? Have I need of madmen that ye brought this fellow to play the madman in my presence? Shall this fellow come into my house? So basically, that's the end of the chapter there. I say basically too much. So pretty much... So, to sum up, David was worried this king would recognize him, so he started acting all, like, crazy and stuff. And the king's like, why are you bringing me crazy people? I've had enough crazy people. Stop bringing me them. Sorry, I have a little tickle in my throat. And David, therefore, departed thence. This is chapter 22 now. And escaped to the cave Adullam. And when his brethren and all his father's house heard it, they went down thither to him, and every one that was in distress, and every one that was in debt, and every one that was discontented, gathered themselves unto him, and he became a captain over them, and there were with him about 400 men. And David went thence to Mizpah of Moab, and said unto the king of Moab, let my father and my mother, I pray thee, come forth and be with you, till I know what God will do for me. And he brought them before the king of Moab, and they dwelt with him all the while that David was in the hold. And the prophet Gad said unto David, abide not in the hold, depart, and get thee to the land of Judah. And David departed, and came into the forest of Hereth. When Saul heard that David was discovered, and the men that were with him, now Saul abode in Gibeah under a tree in Ramah, having his spear in his hand, and all his servants were standing about him, Then Saul said unto his servants that stood about him, hear now, ye Benjamites, will the son of Jesse give every one of you fields and vineyards, and make you all captains of thousands and captains of hundreds, that all you have conspired against me? And there is none that sheweth me that my son hath made a league with the son of Jesse, and there is none of you that is sorry for me, or sheweth unto me that my son hath stirred up my servant against me to lie in wait as at this day? Then answered Doeg the Edomite, which was set over the servants of Saul, and said, I saw the son of Jesse coming to Nob, to Ahimelech, the son of Ahitub. And he inquired of the Lord for him, and gave him victuals, and gave him the sword of Goliath the Philistine. So, okay. Saul called unto his servants, like, are you guys all against me, since you didn't tell me that my son is in love with this guy? He might not have said that, but I think that's what he said. Is in love with this guy, and is conspiring with him, and probably having hot gay sex with him. And no one told me about it, damn it. And then the guy told on them, a little tattletale, dropped a dime on David, said he's with these priests. Then the king sent to call Ahimelech, the priest, the son of Ahitub, and all his father's house, and the priests that were in Nob, and they came all of them to the king. And Saul said, hear now, thou son of Ahitub. And he answered, here I am, my lord. And Saul said unto him, why have ye conspired against me, thou and the son of Jesse, in that thou hast given him bread and a sword, and hast inquired of God for him, that he should rise against me to lie in wait at this day? Then Ahimelech answered the king and said, and who is so faithful among all thy servants as David, which is the king's son-in-law, and goeth at thy bidding, and is honorable in thine house? Did I then begin to inquire of God for him? Be it far from me. Let not the king impute anything unto his servant, nor to all the house of my father, for thy servant knew nothing of this, less or more. So Ahimelech is saying, and rightfully so, like, I didn't know. He said he was with you, and he was in good standing with you last I heard, and he said he was on a mission from you. So how was I supposed to know? And the king said, thou shalt surely die, Ahimelech, thou and all thy father's house. So it's a little harsh, not really deserved. And the king said unto the footmen that stood about him, turn and slay the priests of the Lord, because their hand is also with David, and because they knew when he fled and did not shew it to me. But the servants of the king would not put forth their hand to fall upon the priests of the Lord. And the king said to Doeg, turn thou and fall upon the priests. And Doeg the Edomite turned and fell upon the priests, and slew on that day 85 persons that did wear a linen ephod. And Nob, the city of priests, smote he with the edge of the sword, both men and women, children and sucklings, and oxen and asses and sheep with the edge of the sword. Yeah, so that's a little harsh. So Saul didn't take his excuse at all and said, like, kill him. And the servants wouldn't kill him. So this one douchebag, Doug, freaking asshole Doug, killed them all and killed a bunch of people in the town and stuff. And the one of the sons and one of the sons of Ahimelech, the son of Ahitub, named Abiathar, escaped and fled after David. And Abiathar shewed David that Saul had slain the Lord's priests. And David said unto Abiathar, I knew it that day when Doeg the Edomite, when that douchebag Doeg was there, that he would surely tell Saul. I have occasioned the death of all the persons in my father's house. Abide thou with me, fear not. For he that seeketh my life seeketh thy life, but with me thou shalt be in safeguard. That's the end of that chapter. Then they told David, this is chapter 23. Then they told David, saying, behold, the Philistines fight against Keilah, and they rob the threshing floors. Therefore David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go and smite these Philistines? Hey, Lord, you want me to go murder all these Philistines, or what? You got you on that, or do you need me on that? You got another guy on that, what? And the Lord said unto David, go and smite the Philistines and save Keilah, because I sure as shit aren't doing it. Am not doing it. That was the wrong conjugation there. I sure as shit am not doing it. And David's men said unto him, behold, we be afraid here in Judah. How much more than if we come to Keilah against the armies of the Philistines? Then David inquired of the Lord yet again, and the Lord answered and said, arise, go down to Keilah, for I will deliver the Philistines into thine hand. So he's like, the Lord's like, yeah, I'm not going to do it myself, but if you go there and get them loosened, I'll make sure that they just all die. So David and his men went to Keilah and fought with the Philistines and brought away their cattle and smote them with great slaughter. And so David saved the inhabitants of Keilah. And it came to pass when Abiathar, the son of Ahimelech, fled to David to Keilah, that he came down with an ephod in his hand, and it was told Saul that David was come to Keilah. And Saul said, God hath delivered him into mine hand, for he is shut in by entering into a town that hath gates and bars. And Saul called all the people together to war, to go down to Keilah, to besiege David and his men. And David knew that Saul secretly practiced mischief against him. And he said to Abiathar the priest, bring hither the ephod. Then said David, O Lord God of Israel, thy servant hath surely heard that Saul seeketh to come to Keilah to destroy the city for my sake. Will the men of Keilah deliver me up into his hand? Will Saul come down as thy servant hath heard? O Lord God of Israel, I beseech thee, tell thy servant. And the Lord said, he will come down. And then said David, will the men of Keilah deliver me and my men into the hand of Saul? And the Lord said, they will deliver thee up. So that's great. So David comes and saves these people from the Philistines. And then Saul finds out where he is. And so he's coming. And then David asks God, he's like, so are these people going to give me up? Can I stay here or am I not safe? And the Lord said, nah, they're totally going to give you up, man. They don't like you. And Saul must have, or sorry, David must have felt, I don't know, a little betrayed. Like he just saved the city and they're giving him up. Why is everybody tattling on David? I don't get it. Is he, I mean, I thought he was like the hero David who slew Goliath and was really favored, highly favored in the kingdom. I don't get it really. I think people are just assholes. Just want to stir up shit. Then David and his men, which were about 600, arose and departed out of Keilah and went whithersoever they could go. And it was told Saul that David escaped from Keilah, and he forbare to go forth. And David abode in the wilderness in strongholds and remained in a mountain in the wilderness of Ziph. And Saul sought him every day, but God delivered him not into his hand. And David saw that Saul was come out to seek his life, and David was on the wilderness of Ziph in a wood. And Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David in the wood and strengthened his hand in God. And he said unto him, fear not, for the hand of Saul my father shall not find thee, and thou shalt be king over Israel, and I shall be next unto thee, and that also Saul my father knoweth. And they two made a covenant before the Lord, and they made sweet, sweet covenant before the Lord. And David abode. That's what it meant when they said they were going to, like, there'd be a covenant between their seed. I get it now. Ugh. And David abode in the wood, and Jonathan went into his house. Then came up the Ziphites to Saul to Gibeah, saying, doth not David hide himself with us in strongholds in the wood, in the hill of Hakalah, which is on the side of Jeshimon? Now therefore, O king, come down according to all the desire of thy soul to come down, and our part shall be to deliver him into the king's hand. And Saul said, blessed be ye of the Lord, for ye have compassion on me. Go, I pray you, prepare yet, and know and see his place where his haunt is, and who hath seen him there. For it is told me that he dealeth very subtly. See therefore, and take knowledge of all the lurking places where he hideth himself, and come ye again to me with the certainty, and I will go out with you, and it shall come to pass, if he be in the land, that I will search him throughout all the thousands of Judah. Okay, this is one note I had. I have a question. Does he have a kingdom to run at all? Or is he just, he's like head guy in charge of doing whatever the hell he wants and hunting this one guy that's done nothing wrong? Like, he's the king of a bunch of people. Wouldn't you think, you know, I imagine back home in the Capitol building, you know, work's just piling up. There's a stack of bills he needs to sign that the, you know, Congress has passed. And people are like, Where's Saul? He runs. He still is king, right? Doesn't he run everything? Where is he? Oh, he's chasing one guy around the entire country day and night, hunting him for no reason. Oh, okay, cool. We'll just take care of everything then. That's fine. Wouldn't there be a little civil unrest, don't you think? You know, like, I don't know why the people are putting up with this. I know, I guess back then people weren't that into, you know, people, as far as they're concerned, whatever the king said goes. But I don't know. It's just funny to me that he's just putting all his time and effort. I'm sure he's got like logistics problems to work out for the kingdom and taxes to levy, you know, laws to pass, things to do. There's got to be some stuff, right? Like, I don't know how he just has all this time in the world. And they rose and went to... It would be one thing if David did anything wrong, but, like, all David has done is gone and saved some people, killed Goliath, been really cool, everyone loves him, but yet everyone's cool with Saul just hunting him, wasting all his time hunting him. Anyway. And they arose and went to Ziph before Saul, but David and his men were in the wilderness of Maon, in the plain on the south of Jeshimon. Saul also and his men went to seek him. And they told David, wherefore he came down into a rock and abode in the wilderness of Maon. And when Saul heard that, he pursued after David in the wilderness of Maon. And Saul went on this side of the mountain, and David and his men on that side of the mountain. And David made haste to get away for fear of Saul. And Saul and his men compassed David and his men around about to take them. This is an action sequence. It's not all that exciting when you're reading it in the King James English, and, like, also it's not really just that exciting at all, but it's like a play-by-play of this action scene. They went to one side of the mountain, and then the king went to that side, and he's like, ooh, let me know what happens. But there came, I'm dying to know what happens next, but there came a messenger unto Saul, saying, haste thee and come, for the Philistines have invaded the land. No shit! Wherefore Saul returned from pursuing after David and went against the Philistines. Therefore they called that place Selahamagalil something. And David, it's Spanish for, like, I shouldn't have been wasting all my effing time here. I should have been running a country. And David went up from thence and dwelt in strongholds at En-Gedi. So that's the end of our reading today. Yeah, I promise you I made that note before I even read that part. they're playing, like, Ring Around the Rosie with this mountain, like, trying to get David. And then a messenger comes and, like, hey, the Philistines are taking over the country. I don't know if it's a country or what, just a people, whatever it is. They're killing us because you're dicking around out here with some guy that no one cares about. Like, no one wants you to kill. What are you doing? Can you come be king and run the effing country for 10 minutes and fight these freaking Philistines that won't leave us alone? Yeah, anyway. Yeah, so that's the reading. So yeah, if I were, like, a high-powered filmmaker or a screenwriter, whatever, I think David's life would be kind of a cool script. Because, for one, I would make him have a gay relationship with Jonathan, 100%. It's not that big of a stretch. I mean, I don't know the whole story yet because I'm not there yet. Yeah, and there could be... there's a lot of conflict there, like... Jonathan has to choose between obeying his father and obeying his hot male lover, you know? There'd be lots of hot, what's that cowboy movie, you know, the gay cowboy movie. I cannot remember the name of anything. It used to be the butt of every joke, back when it came out, but now, I can't remember. Anyway, that movie, because everybody knows what it's called except my stupid brain that can't remember the name. So it'd be like, there'd be like awesome hardcore guy and guy scenes. That'd be good. So you got your controversy right there. And then, like, I don't know if you don't remember this, but David had a wife too. Like, total beard, because he hasn't even given a shit about her. Like, he just left her and... hasn't been seen because David's wife was a daughter of Saul, so there's a cool little conflict there too, because, like, the daughter protects him, and I don't know, there could be cool little dynamics with these relationships. And I'd love to portray in a movie the battle of David and Goliath and have it be like this build up about this, you know, Goliath monster, and then finally cut to David and Goliath, and Goliath is, like, I don't know, 4 inches taller than David. You know, like, he's just kind of a big guy, you know, like a muscly. That'd be so awesome. It'd be really cool, too, because I'd want it to be a movie that every Christian and Jew, I guess, for that matter, is like, oh, cool, I want to go see this Bible movie. This is going to be awesome. I love these pro... propaganda. That was the word I was looking for earlier. I love these propaganda Bible movies. Can't get enough of them. And then it would be like this totally, totally liberal, like, interpretation where David is gay and takes down, like, a kind of big Goliath. And probably there will be some cheating in that fight too. It'll be like totally wimpy way to win. You know, he throws a rock at his head. It'll be like totally scared. That's how it'll be. David will be like totally scared, running around, guerrilla tactics, completely dishonorable. Goliath will be this guy that's just trying to kill him. He's I'm not going to make him evil. I'm going to try to make him like a normal character. I'm talking as though I'm actually going to do this. It's not going to happen, but I mean, if only. And then David will like hit him with a rock and cut his head off, and it'll be like, holy shit, did that just happen? You know? And a lot of the stuff you don't even have to really rewrite because it's so ridiculous already in the Bible. So that's my screenplay I'm working on as I'm going along with this. Someday. Someday if future technologies allow screenplays to be written without any effort and then made without any effort, that's when this will get done. We might have the technology. The iPhone is a hell of a thing. I'm sure there will be an app that does this. It's like, say a couple of ideas about a screenplay. And you do, and then it's like, okay, I wrote it all for you. And then you're like, cool. And then it's like, do you want me to make this a movie and release it in theaters? And you're like, yeah, do that. And then it does it. So when that technology exists, this movie will be made. But until then, I'll have to say adios for episode 67. Hopefully the next one will be a little more funny. I don't know, there wasn't that much comedy in this one. Like I said, I tried my best. You know, if you're horribly disappointed, I will just write me. I will send you your money back. The price of the download that you paid. No, I'm I'm not trying to be a smart aleck. But yeah, no, hopefully it's still somewhat entertaining. But at least we're getting through it. You know, we got to get through the book. So yeah, have a good one. Please write reviews. Check out F This Podcast. Check out our Facebook. Check out my Facebook, facebook.com/TNTheB. And yeah, thanks a lot for listening. Bye.